We've been looking at the heart of David. This is the eighth message that we're sharing about David. We're talking right now about the time of his wilderness time and as an outlaw. This is the fifth message that we've shared on that particular epoch of his life. Today I want to talk about David's discernment of enemies. David's discernment of enemies. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, 1 Samuel 26, I want to read verse 6 through verse 12. What we're going to see here is one of the times that David spared the life of Saul. And I want to take this and try to open up what I sense that the Spirit wants to say, not only to our church, but to the church universal. What I believe that the Spirit of God is saying right here, right now, today, as Dr. Cash, and we've had no time of rehearsing this thing from the point that he's coming at. He said all morning, the thrust that's been in his heart is that the Lord wants his church to be one, right? We got to come to an understanding that we've got to get to be one. Oneness of mind, oneness of purpose, and oneness of reason for our existence. So that's the direction that we'll be looking at. If you read with me now, beginning at verse 6 of 1 Samuel 26. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp. How many know Saul sleeping? Amen? And the spear, this is the same spear that he threw at David, and his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people were laying around him. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." But David said, say that back to me. But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" David also said, "As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, for his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away. But no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now I could go into a lot of present truth here. I could show you that one reason that the systematic church, the religious church today, why it's asleep is because God's put a sleep on it. I don't want to go that route. I could go forth and bring forth the truth that one day that the religious church, that the false church, I could go forth and I could show you that one day it'll either kill itself, the Philistines will kill it, or God will strike it down. I could do that. But that's not what I'm wanting to thrust at today. I'm wanting to bring forth the thought of as to what discernment of enemies. Now, this is the second time David has opportunity to hurt Saul, but he does not. This has happened two times. First time was in chapter 24, and this is the one in chapter 24 that most people are most familiar with. It is the time when Saul went into the cave that David was hiding in, and he took his robe off and he covered his feet. In other words, he was going to the bathroom, and David got up and cut off part of his garment and took it out. And this is the second time, and this is in chapter 26, where there is an encampment, and it's at night, and the men are asleep, and David and Abishai go down into the camp and take Saul's spear and Saul's water jug. Now, both times that this happened, Saul was in a very vulnerable position, wasn't he? He was in a very vulnerable position. Both times David would not, nor would he allow his men to damage the Lord's anointed. Both times David's men had to be taught not to damage the Lord's anointed. Both times David said, "The Lord will judge Saul and me." And I believe that this is the message that the Spirit of God is wanting to bring to His church today, is that we've got to be able to discern the true enemy that we are to seek out and to destroy against the enemies that God will deal with. Now, there are two enemies. David's had an enemy. It was Saul. There was another enemy, the Philistines. Which one did David put his hand to destroy? Philistines. Who did he say would deal with the other one? God. And when we understand that, when I understand that denominations is not the enemy that I am to go out and try to destroy, their doctrines, although they don't totally agree with me, when I get an understanding in my heart that that's not what I'm supposed to deal with, that God will deal with that. And when I understand that my enemies are those who stand up abruptly against God and says there is no God, and I understand that that's the enemy of the church, and that's the one that we're to go against, then we'll start seeing the church come together. Because we'll have a common purpose, a common reason for existence. Now, that's what I want to develop. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of you are breathing hard. It's not that bad. 5 points. 5 points that I want to bring. You see, David's greatness is seen in his attitude toward his enemies. David's greatness is seen in his attitude toward his enemies. I want to develop this into 5 points. 1. Every great man or great woman, whether scripturally or secularly, has enemies. Did George Washington have enemies? Thomas Jefferson? The founding fathers? Sure they did. Winston Churchill? Any great secular person or scriptural person is going to have enemies. Did Paul the Apostle have enemies? Did Jesus have enemies? Okay. Now we're establishing the fact that we will have enemies. Now Jesus said to love your enemies, didn't he? But did he love the devil? What did he do to the devil? Did he destroy the works of the devil? And that's what the church is supposed to do. The church has got to come to a place where it can properly discern between the works of the devil and the enemies that God will destroy. What we're trying to do is fight with the enemies that God's going to take care of. We're so busy debating about doctrinal beliefs and our 2,000 different denominations, we're so busy doing those things that we have gotten our mind off who the real enemy is. One is for us to destroy. Matthew 16 and verse 18 says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are a warring instrument. There is something that we are going against, and it's what God has not anointed. We don't touch what He has anointed, although that can be an enemy. Every great church has enemies. Is this true? Did the church that we read about in the book of Acts have enemies? The great church will have enemies, but it won't be itself. The great church won't bicker and fight amongst itself. We won't be warring with their doctrine or their doctrine. We'll allow God to take care of that. What we've got to come to the point of is deciding who the real enemy is and getting up and warring with the real enemy. We've been lulled to sleep. So it's all right to have enemy. It's our attitude toward our enemies that matter. Okay? When we get a right attitude toward the enemy, then we'll know who the enemy is that we're after and want to destroy. Second point. Third point. Second point was every great church has enemies. Third point. We must learn to discern the enemies. We must learn to discern the enemies if, number one, We've got to know if they're Philistines, enemies that we're supposed to seek out and to destroy, or number two, enemies anointed of the Lord, such as Saul. One we are to war with, seeking to destroy. One the Lord God will destroy. Are we in agreement with this so far? Scriptures say over and over, stretch not your hand against the Lord's anointed. But what has the church done? Killed each other. We've battled with one another. We've got so involved with the warfare within the church that we've forgotten that there's an enemy out there that must be destroyed. Right. The church must come to the place where we are not each other's enemies. Denominations are not our enemies. The Lord will judge between them and us. That's the heart of David. David says, I might be wrong, but the Lord God will judge between Saul and me. He says, what I have got to do is figure out who the Philistine is and where he is and go get him. Touch not what God has placed. What God has placed, what God has put, don't touch it. Let God touch it. Fourth point. See, I've got these on ABCs and Ds, and I have to. Fourth point. The devil is our enemy to destroy. Antichrist is the Philistines. Now, I want to look at something that we shared here probably a couple of years ago, but I just sensed this morning that we needed to go back to it. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is kind of a runover from last Sunday morning. We saw last Sunday morning that from the turn of the century, the church has developed this escape mentality. It has developed a mentality that we're going to run away because the church is going to be raptured out any minute. And there will be a rapture. Please understand me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks specifically about the catching away. But the decision has to come, when will this catching away take place? What has happened since that turn of the century is everything has gone downhill. We have lost so much ground to the enemy. Now, what's happened in this theology, in this doctrinal persuasion, is basically something that goes like this, that there will be an Antichrist that will come forth. He will establish some sort of a kingdom. It'll last 3 years, 3.5 years, or 7 years, or whatever. All right? And then when that thing's established, when that thing happens, then things will get so bad that the church will have to be taken out, and then the Lord will come and judge it all. Now that's basically the doctrinal persuasions that's happened since the 1900s. Now, what I want us to see here is if you're waiting on an Antichrist to come, stop waiting. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. Now, about how long ago was 1 John written? About 2,000 years ago. So what we're talking about here is that the last hour is talking about not a last day, but we're talking here about a last times. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, stop. How many's heard that Antichrist is coming? Okay? We've all heard that. At one time or the other, we heard he's coming. He's coming. But look what John says. Even now, many Antichrist, plural, have arisen. How many? Many. And if you're waiting on them to come, forget it. They're here. They're here. Now, Antichrist. Anti means something other than. Not necessarily and specifically against, although it does include that. Anti means something other than Christ. And we've got to understand that, to understand what Antichrist is. Antichrist is a spirit. We'll read that in just a second in chapter 4. And Antichrist comes with something other than Christ. It comes with something and it defies that Christ is come. Now look at chapter 4. I want verse 3, but let's read 1, 2, and 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, if they're anointed. Okay? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. It's an anointed spirit. Okay? You with that now? Now, does the denominational systems basically say that Jesus Christ is come? Okay. Then that's not Antichrist. Right? Now, there'll be a day. I'm going to go ahead and make... Well, I'm not either, because that's one of my points. All right. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard, here it is again, that is coming. But he says, I want to let you know, now it already is in the world. What we've got to grasp, folks, is if we're waiting for an Antichrist to come, then what we've done is exactly what we talked about last week. We've laid down, played dead, waiting for an any minute rapture to happen when the devil's taken over. Antichrist is here. Antichrist is that which does not recognize God, God's Christ, or God's Word. That's the enemy that the church is to seek out and to destroy. Right? This has helped me. This has really helped me see who is the enemy. Who is the one that we should stand against? And I've had some trouble with this. I've had some battle with this. And I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord is trying to help us. Now, what we've got to see then is that the enemy we are to seek out and to destroy is that which defies God, defies Christ, defies the Word. So I'm going to give you some examples. On Darwin's theory of evolution, it defies God, it defies Christ, and it defies the world. Okay? Now, some denominations deny the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a present-day experience, but believe in God, in Christ, and in His Word. Which of these two is the church to seek out and to destroy? Darwin's theory... Are those that just don't believe just like we do? Okay. Now that's the difference. Touch not God's anointed. Destroy the Philistines. Jehovah Witnesses deny that Christ is the Son of God. Some of the churches believe in an any minute rapture with 7 or 3.5 years of tribulation. Others believe the church will overcome the enemy and be a pure, blameless, and holy bride at the Lord's return. Which of these are the Philistines? It's religious. But it's false spirit. And it's an antichrist. Which of these are we to leave alone and let the Lord touch them? The ones that just don't believe just like we do. But now, which one do we spend all of our times bickering with? And so concerned with? And warring with? You see? We are so blind that we've been so deceived. God, take the scales off our eyes so that we can really see who the enemy is. And we're touching the anointed of God. We're trying to destroy them. Is this right, George? Right, we're trying to get the scales off of their eyes. And they're trying to get them off ours, and the whole time the enemy's taking over. All right, now which are these? Abortion. Does abortion deny God, deny Christ, and deny His Word? Yes. Is it an enemy then that the church should stand and destroy? Yes. I got you now. We've been laying down on this one. And we stood for a while, we've sent money, we've done these things. But we've got to come to the point where either we're for this or against this. Amen. And the church has got to stand and make its decision. Is it an enemy? If it is an enemy, then we've got to destroy it. How about pornography? Enemy of God. You destroy it. Homosexuality. Enemy of God. Won't be any queers in heaven. Each one of those. How about removing prayer from public places? Each denies that God or Christ or the Word exist. Each is an antichrist. What is the church doing? Warring with each other. Touching God's anointed. Being judged ourselves. The heart of David discerned enemies. David's greatness was seen by this discernment. The greatness of the church will be seen by its discernment. Last point. A day is coming when there will be war between the house of David and the house of Saul. But that day is not yet. Ted, let me see your thing now. Ted wanted to do this morning, and I'm not warring. I want you to understand. Now, what I'm saying is that the day is not yet. There will be a time when we will war with the house of Saul. That's not today. But I want to show you where they're going and where we're going, just to show you that the lines are being clearly divided. Those that stand and those that won't. Next article that Ted has in the paper, back page, will address this issue of prayer in school and prayer at the ball games and things. There'll be one column. It'll say the pastors have the pastors' names. Am I right now? Correct me now if I'm erroneous.
Not this one?
Okay. Okay. One's coming. First column, pastors who will sign their name that say, we want prayer at ball games. Another column of fence striders, we're not going to take a stand. Third column that say, we don't care. The lines are being drawn further and further and further as the Lord God begins to deal with His church to bring forth a warring instrument that it was created to be. First mention of the church, you've heard me say this so many times, He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That depicts for me an army that goes forth to destroy the gates of hell. Once the gates of hell are identified, then we are to attack them and destroy them. That's what the church is in the world to do. This brochure says, House of Sorcery, Magic Museum. Magic from around the world as performed by Devon, the magician. Delightful, deception, and deceit. At the bottom it says, Warlock Productions Limited. Saturday, September the 9th, 1989, 7 p.m., First United Methodist Church, Lafayette, Georgia. Now, God's got to touch this, folks. It's not time for us to touch it yet. There's a day coming. Just bear with me. You'll see. There is a day coming when the house of David and the house of Saul will war. But David first has to be identified as king of all of Judah. When that happens, then you'll see false religion and true religion clash heads with one another so that one will be identified. Now, that was my last point. A day is coming when there will be war between the house of David and the house of Saul, but that day is not yet. It's coming. It's getting worse and worse. You're going to have to get on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. Conclusion. Today, the enemies are not each other. We must learn to allow God to deal and judge between us who do not deny Christ. Did I make that clear? God has to deal with us who do not deny Christ. If I don't deny Christ, if I know that Christ is real, and I do, and my brothers know that Christ is real, and they do, then I can't touch them. God's got to do it. Who I can touch, who I am to war against, are the obvious enemies. While we will be a great church or just another church? Say it again. Will this church be a great church or just another church? Now, I have to believe that we're called for a purpose and that we're called for something specific. And I believe the Lord is laying a foundation today and last week in something that He's trying to say to us. I'm making it clear. Stop bickering with the brothers and bickering with the sisters and bickering with each other. Let God deal with that. Well, we've got to determine who the real enemies are. Get off of our fannies. See, it's easier to battle with them than it is with the enemy. I can get up here and do this and get paid for it. Huh? Surely doesn't get paid to go stand in front of an abortion clinic. Which would you rather do? Come here and hear me talk about it? Or go to stand in front with Shirley in front of an abortion clinic? Which is the easiest? And that's why we haven't done anything. The Lord is challenging His church. We'll mark ourselves. We'll be a great church or we'll just be another church. We'll have good theology and a good place to come and clap our hands and have fun. But we'll just be another church. The Lord's wanting a church that will stand against the gates of hell.
Hallelujah.
And knock them flat and then go find another one. And knock it flat and then go find another one and knock it flat. That's the word of the Lord. Let's stand.